Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said, early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 14. We're talking about the lesson today is the walking in the Holy Spirit, sanctification, dealing with sanctification. What is sanctification? And we're going to try to explain it. It is a very large, encompassing word. It could mean purifying. It could mean separating. It could mean holiness. So it has a lot of applications, a lot of terminology there. But it's a washing. It's a cleansing aspect. We're going to see here that both we're sanctified by the blood of Christ, but we're also sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so we'll look at that here in the notes. But we've been dealing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the messenger. He's the comforter. He's the oil in your lamp. He's the fire in your lamp. He's the light of your lamp. He is emblematic of a dove, and he gives us the power that we need in our lives to be bold for our faith, to be bold for God, to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we need that boldness because we are. The counter-revolution is anti-God, anti-Christ, it's anti-civilization, it's anti-family, it's anti-marriage, it's anti-two genders, it's anti-everything, violence and just chaos. It is the devil's agenda. They have brainwashed a multitude of people in our country to go after a socialistic anti-God agenda. and destroy our constitutional republic. We're you know, going to celebrate next Sunday. Fourth of July weekend. That's we celebrate. I'm telling you, there's not going to be much celebration. They cancel all the fireworks, but maybe you can go and watch a police car get burned. Why don't we go? They canceled all the fireworks, but maybe we can go and watch a building burn, you know, vandalize and looting and watch a police car get burned. But that's okay, but don't have fireworks in celebration of our Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution. So we need power. We need it. And we need to ask for it. We need to ask God to give us power and boldness to overcome the idiocy, the morons that are out there in the community today, that are taught in these God-forsaken public schools. They are trash, they're garbage, and just the anti-God, anti-constitution that is percolating and permeating through the public schools. You know, I went to public school. I went to public school all my life. You know, there were good aspects of it, but there were a lot of bad aspects. A lot of bad aspects of it. And it brews rebellion. It teaches the little children to be rebellious against mom and dad. And you're looking at someone who was quite rebellious in my high school years. Yeah, Jeff, you don't think so, but I put on the facade, you know. It's been 30 years now, 40 years. 40 years since I've been in the classroom, school classroom. But rebellion. I mean, just anything goes in the classroom, and you know, it's just getting progressively worse. I'm glad she's going to turn 18 in October, and I don't have any minors. I don't have any minors anymore, because that. Can you imagine a society that if you don't give your children the vaccination or you don't get vaccinated, they could pull your children out of your home? You don't put your child in the public school system, they may take your child out of your home. We're not far from that. I don't know if it was Greg or Dan who sent me an email. But the article talked about a court just recently pulled a child out of their parents' home because one of the parents were tested positive of COVID-19 in California. Was it L.A. County there? That a judge ruled in favor of the Child Protective Services out there, whatever they call themselves, to take the child out of the home because a parent was diagnosed with COVID, just because the test result was positive that they had it, even though they may not have shown symptoms. And so we need power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know where to go and buy the power. Where the store is that you buy it. The store is in heaven. God is the merchant who sells it to you, not for money. He's not looking for gold and silver. He's looking for your faithfulness. He's looking for your prayer. He's looking for your request, your faith in wanting it. And having the measure of the Holy Spirit full. Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be depleted. If it talks about being full of the Holy Spirit, what's the opposite of being full? Empty. So it encourages us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to know, how do we get that filling of the Holy Spirit? How do we allow that Holy Spirit to work in our lives? And the problem is, We don't see much of it going on in our culture, in our society today. We don't see the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, the Bible tells us. It can be quenched. So it's like a fire. The fire is burning brightly. And what do you do? How do you put out a bonfire, Greg? You put water on it. You don't put any more bones in there. He was telling me, sent me a text, email, about where the word bonfire comes from. Bonfire. It's like the word month. The word month comes from the word moon. Mooneth. And they just dropped an O. So in bonfire, they just dropped the E of bone. Again, power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power to preach the Word of God. Power to convey your faith and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that power, and we need it more than ever in our country. We are justified, your notes should say, on page 9, I believe, in your notes. We are justified by faith in the blood of Christ upon the cross. Okay? We've learned that in Romans chapter 3. It states that. Chapter 5, important, we're justified by faith. Okay? The just shall live by faith, the scriptures say. Furthermore, we are sanctified, washed by his blood. And it tells us here in Hebrews 10, by the which will, speaking of God's will, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected them. So we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. There's a washing. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so that's one aspect of sanctification. The scriptures tell us in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Means renewal. You've been reborn. Regeneration. What you'll hear me sometimes use the word the unregenerate. Means the unsaved. Regenerate means those who are saved. They've been born again. Washed of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We see there in Titus 3:5. Romans chapter 6 speaks of our co-death with Christ. Romans 7 speaks of the battle between the new and old nature. Romans 8, and that's where I ended last week, Romans 8 speaks of the victory that is already ours in the Holy Spirit if we walk in the Spirit. A conditional promise. So turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We only read part of it. We're going to read the rest of it. But I emphasized last week that verse 1 has been corrupted by all your new versions that are out there today, and they leave off the conditional phrase at the end of the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That conditional phrase, who walk, that's talking about what you do after you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you spend the rest of your life in Christ? Do you walk away from him or do you walk closer to him? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, but God. Now, what is that bantering back and forth? That's bantering the law, the Old Testament law, Moses' law, the law of Moses, the law that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with to give to the people, the Jews. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, your body is a temple. We'll see that again here in our notes. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, this is talking to believers. This is talking to you and I. This is talking to growing mature in your faith. If you've been born once, did you not grow up to become an adult, right? If you were born a second time, spiritually speaking, don't you need to grow up to become an adult? It's just obvious. But Paul rebukes some of the churches because they're still babes in Christ. They don't mature. The urge here, the urgent message here is to grow up spiritually in our lives, to grow up and become adults in our Christian lives. Spiritually speaking, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Okay, the carnal mind is enmity. This is the great battle that we personally have to go through. Fighting the carnality and attaining the spirituality. Dying and denying carnality and attaining and reaching for and pressing toward the spirituality in our lives. And having a spiritual mind. And this is where we have to have a conversation with God each and every day. And have get in God's Word. And let the Word of God. You know, part of prayer is not always speaking to God. Part of prayer is listening to God. Listening. Reading the Word of God. And allowing God to teach you something from the Word of God. Meditation, that's meditating upon the Word of God. That's part of a prayer life. You don't always have to be talking. You know, you can allow God to talk back to you in your prayer life. It's just meditation, the quietness of God speaking to you and teaching you something from the Word of God. What is the yoga meditation? What's that called? Their meditation. Yoga meditation is emptying your mind and not having any thought, which is contrary to biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is to meditate upon God's Word. And meditate upon things that are holy and right. And filling your mind up with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But the yoga meditation and the Eastern meditation, Eastern mysticism, is emptying your brain. And so what does that do? You empty your brain, and what does that allow? More demons to come back in. Right. It's a vacuum. So it just sucks. when you open up the portals. So Romans chapter 8 verse 6, let's read that. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, means an enemy against God. Just an old word that we don't use that word often, enmity. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So it's talking about pleasing God. It's not talking about being saved. It's talking about pleasing God. So it's dealing with us in our personal walk. Warning us, don't walk in the flesh. Carnally minded. Carnally, flesh, two similar words. They just banter those two words back and forth here. Paul does in chapter 8. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Means you aren't a child of God if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling within you. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. So it's warning us. How are you going to live? Are you going to live after the flesh? Ye shall die. That's a spiritual death. That's damnation. That's not physical death. That's spiritual death. That's what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify, kill. Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is dealing with our walk. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye, so there's led by the Spirit. That's the key word. Not having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but being led by the Spirit. Key word, three letters. Led by the Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Paul the Apostle allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. Do I go into Asia or do I go to Macedonia? What did the Holy Spirit say? Put up a roadblock for Asia and said, go to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit led him. He was led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You and I are an adopted son.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.